little bit about myself before we get started. My name is Elaine, and I'm a staff member here at the Oral History Program, and I also work at the Primate Library. So I've done some research on the Harlow Lab, and I'm especially interested in your experiences working there.
Yeah.
And so just for the record, this is June 21st, 2012, and I'm interviewing Catherine Steiner Stevenson by telephone from the Oral History Program in the archives at UW-Madison. And Kate, will you spell your last name for the record?
Stevenson. Spell it. S-T-E-V-E-N-S-O-N.
Thank you. Now let's get started with maybe just some general information about your time at the University of Wisconsin.
If I can remember that far back.
Just whatever you can remember is great. And you were here from 1933 to 1936, does that sound right?
Yeah, I graduated.
Okay, and why did you choose to attend the University of Wisconsin?
My sister Ruth lived in Madison, and her husband taught at the university. So I went there. He was an English professor.
Okay. And what was his name?
Irwin Griggs.
Can you spell that last name for me?
G-R-I-G-G-S.
Okay, so your sister already went here.
Yeah, but she worked in Madison. They lived there.
And what did she do in Madison?
Well, she worked for the paper.
Oh. And which paper was that?
I don't know what they are now. The main paper that's in Madison.
Okay.
I don't remember.
And do you have any experiences growing up in, your daughter said you lived in a Mennonite family in Pennsylvania. Could you tell me a little bit about your personal background?
Well, my parents were what they call Reformed Mennonites. They were the old-time Mennonites that came over from Alsace-Lorraine in Switzerland, mm-hmm. in this country for freedom. And they wore all the Mennonite garb and didn't vote. They didn't live in the world here, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But my father was quite a genius and engineering. He invented a lot of stuff. And they had no social life other than with their own kind.
And did your parents work?
Did they work?
Yeah.
My father was the head of Landis Tool Company, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mother did not work.
Okay. And when you decided to come to the University of Wisconsin, was your family involved in that decision, or did you make that decision yourself?
I was told to go there because my sister Ruth wanted to take me out of Waynesboro.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like the boy I was going with. And so she changed my entire life.
Wow. But it was mostly your sister's decision and not your parents.
They wouldn't think of going to college, though. Mm. So.
But they were still able to pay for it?
My sister, mm-hmm. Mary, paid for it. She was a school teacher.
Oh.
And she helped pay for it. And my dad help pay for it. Now, of course, there were five in our family, and my sister Ruth went to Swarthmore to school for 2 years. That's all Dad could afford.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister Mary went to Westchester, the college. That was 2 years, all he could pay for, because my brother Bob went to be a dentist, and he, of course, had a long time.
And I saw in the yearbook that you majored in psychology.
Yeah.
What made you be interested in psychology? How did you decide to major in that?
Well, I really don't know, because it was not looked on as anything great at that time.
Right.
And in fact, you were supposed to kind of be ashamed or something.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I don't really... Maybe I thought I couldn't pass anything else. I don't know.
Did you have any psychology classes that stand out in your memory?
That what?
That stand out in your memory, particular teachers or classes?
Well, Abe Maslow was a friend.
Right.
And, he stands out in my mind all the time.
Okay. And we'll get back to Maslow later in the interview. I'm really interested in him.
And there was an English professor, but I can't think of his name. I've lost all the names.
Right. Did you consider any other majors, or were you pretty set on psychology from the beginning?
Well, I liked psychology.
Okay.
And it, but it was found, I mean, it wasn't thought of pretty well. I thought helping the people who were having mental problems, mm-hmm. but I went over to the insane asylum across the lake there,
mm-hmm.
and that turned me off.
Oh.
Oh, I couldn't do it after seeing all those people with those problems. That's awful.
So did you have any idea of what you wanted to do with your psychology major?
I had no idea at all.
No idea.
Because I didn't think of working. In those days, girls didn't work as much or the same as they do now.
Right.
Or women just didn't work that much. You stayed home, had your babies, played bridge the day afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
And that's what you planned on doing?
Well, I didn't plan on anything until my junior year. I came upon a fellow that used to sit beside me in school, in grammar school, and he had a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that intrigued me, so I asked him for a ride. Then I talked him into marrying me. And he was a wonderful man.
Do you remember any other students or friends that you had while you went here?
Well, yes, I have one that is still living. And she is blind like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she cannot hear. Irene Kreutzmann.
Can you spell that last name?
I don't think.
Okay.
Kreutzmann, I think.
Okay.
She's married to a dentist. He's dead, but yeah.
And do you remember what she majored in?
What she majored in?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what Irene. No.
Okay. Were you involved in any organizations or extracurricular activities while you were here?
My sister, Ruth, who mm-hmm. lived in Madison and brought me there, was very much against sororities.
Okay.
We were at this period in history when there was a lot of stuff going on in the Congress in the United States, whether we were going to be just plain old people or I can't think of them.
The communists?
Yeah, but they're communists. The communists
mm-hmm.
were around at that time, and they appealed to a lot of people, older people that I knew out there.
Right.
But I don't think they ever joined the Communist Party.
I saw in the yearbook that you were involved in Alpha Omicron Pi.
I lived there.
You lived there.
I lived in the sorority house, but Howard Place. But I never joined the sorority because my sister Ruth didn't think that was the thing to do.
Did you have any impressions of the sororities and the fraternities on campus while you were here?
No, I didn't connect with any of them. I was a free woman. And I lived in the Villa Maria,
mm-hmm.
which had maybe 20 or 25 girls, and I made friends with them.
So that was your living situation, and you were pretty close with the women that you lived with?
Yes.
And what sort of things would you do on the weekends? Were you a big studier, or did you go out with your friends?
Well, I dated
mm-hmm.
pretty well. And went ice boating with my male friends, or tobogganing, or and or talking, especially one man from New York. Can't remember his name now either. But we discussed lots of things.
Right.
It was a time in my life when I kind of questioned everything.
Hmm. And were you questioning how you were raised at all?
No, I really, I didn't think about it. You see, they did not have a Sunday school in their church.
Okay.
And so they didn't draw children into the church at all. And my mother and father felt that if I wanted to join the church, I would get a calling. I would have something happen to me that I would know what I wanted to do. But they never wanted to force me, which I liked.
And did you ever join the church?
No. I've never joined any church.
Now, do you have any memories of the Memorial Union and especially the end of Prohibition?
Oh, yes. I remember beer came in,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was 3.2 then. And I remember we go over there and had wonderful cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a bowel problem, eating problem, and I used to love to go there. They had rare roast beef, mashed potatoes, and peas. Oh, but it was wonderful.
Did you eat most of your meals at the Union?
No, I ate a good many there, and I went to the chocolate shop.
Mm.
Oh, my. I ate the chocolate shop.
Well, that's still here today.
I wonder if they still have veal birds. It's veal rolled up around a bread stuffing and the bacon on it. It was delicious.
And did a lot of people go to the Union to drink beer when it first came back?
Yes, I remember the drinks were 3.2. I didn't drink anything then as a freshman. I certainly learned how to have one or two. But not much went on at the Union that I knew. But I was invited by some man, forget his name, and I was something at one of the balls out there.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what, military ball.
Mm.
So I forget what it was.
Was it mostly men that drank at the Union, or was it women too?
Well, I really didn't think about it.
Okay.
So it wasn't one or the other. It was probably all.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any impression of how students that you studied with are different from students today?
Do I have any impression of what?
How students that you studied with during the 1930s are any different from students today?
Oh, if I think any of the people I studied with are different than they are today?
Or students today that study at the University of Wisconsin, do you see any changes in students now versus students in the 1930s?
I don't understand your question.
Kate?
Yes?
She wants to know if, do you notice any difference between you, way you students were back then and how students are today?
I really don't know because my children are way past college.
Right.
And I don't know. I can't say I notice anything.
Okay. Now, was it typical for women to have jobs like you did while they were in the university?
Did I have jobs?
Yeah, you worked at the Harlow Lab. Was that typical?
Well, that was just part of the my course there.
Okay.
And I went over, I had a cage where I had a South American monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fixed for me. Somebody built this little cage. I go in and put the monkey in. and I tested the color Lyman of the monkeys.
Okay.
Of the rhesus monkey, not rhesus, South American bunny.
Right. And did any of your friends have jobs while they were in school?
No, I don't think so.
So it wasn't usual for students to have jobs like you did?
Oh, we never, no, that was out of it. As far as I know, I never even thought of getting a job.
Really?
And in fact, I didn't think about it after I got out of school. Except I did. I went to the company in town here who thought I was a graduate of the typing school downtown in Waynesboro, and they gave me a job on typing 13 pages, and I had taken typing in high school as one little course, and I made all kinds of mistakes. I had to go through 13 papers to erase the mistakes. I quit after 3 months. And I got $50 a month.
$50 a month.
And I told the girls in the office, they ought to yell about it because I didn't think they were paid enough. See, I was a rebel rouser.
So getting back to your job at the Harlow Lab,
yeah.
Was it unusual for women to work there?
You know, the only thing I remember about the job is I'd look over to the other side of the room, and they'd be operating on the brains of the monkeys. And that kind of fascinated me. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to know it. Yet I did want to know it. And that's one thing I remember. I also remember that we got 6 monkeys in one day. And Abe Maslow said, "Kate, I want you to go down there and get the sex of those monkeys." Well, that I didn't know how to do. And I still don't know how to do. But we had the right number of sexes and everything to perform that thing that he wanted me to do.
Were there other girls in the lab too, Kate?
No.
No. She's...
I don't... Yes, there was one. Adioma... somebody.
And do you have any memories of Harlow building the primate psychology laboratory?
Of his doing what?
Building the laboratory.
No, that was just an old building we were in.
Right.
In fact, I was surprised that Harlow was so into the monkey business, because I don't remember him as that. He was my psych professor. And I liked him as a young person, and he was an attractive guy, and I helped him out in something, but it was not with the monkeys.
And that's how you got the job, because he was your professor?
I don't know how I got the job. I really don't know. Abe Maslow was also a friend of my sister's.
Right.
And, so maybe through him in the beginning, I did. I don't know.
Now, were you familiar with Harlow himself as a person? Do you have any personal stories about him?
Of Harlow?
Yeah.
I don't have any personal stories about him.
Okay.
He was a young guy, and I liked him. But I don't remember anything else about him. He didn't impress me like Abe Maslow did.
Right. Now, were you aware of any opinions that were going on in the university or in the government about Harlow's work?
Say that again.
Were there any public or university opinions going around about Harlow's work while you were there? I know that some of his studies became sort of controversial in the 1950s. So I was wondering whether any of his experiments were controversial during the 1930s.
I don't remember ever any talk about it at all.
Really?
No. I mean, I was surprised this book that I have read to me.
Right.
Of how much he was into the monkey business. I didn't know that.
Really. And you weren't aware of any regulations on animal testing while you were there? You said they were doing brain surgery on the macaques.
They were doing brain surgery, I know that. But so I was interested in that. But it was a very small lab at that time.
Right.
I can't be in much health, I don't think.
And were you familiar with these terms that became very controversial that Harry Harlow used, like love and
No.
pit of despair? He wasn't using those in the 1930s.
I do not know of anything about that.
Okay.
And it sounds interesting. I'd like to hear more about it.
It's written a lot about in Deborah Bloom's book called Love at Goon Park.
Yes, we've read that.
Right, so I was just bringing it up in case those were terms that were floating around in the 1930s or if those were more tied to his later experiments.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Okay.
And did you continue to be interested in primate research and in his surrogate mother experiments even after you left the university?
No, I came home and got married,
Okay.
and I raised two kids, and
Mm-hmm.
that's it.
Okay.
I'm still sitting around.
So let's turn to your relationship with Abe Maslow. I'm really interested in any stories you might have about him.
Well, I knew him well. He talked to me a lot about how he felt about things. I knew his wife, and he had two children. And he was a very sensitive man, very sensitive, very homely, not good looking at all, but a very warm, nice guy. He really was. And he was a good friend of my sister
Okay.
and brother-in-law.
And that's how you knew him.
Yes. And through and then I went took the did the monkey stuff with him.
Right. And how often did you see him?
Oh, not just at the not too much, just every now and then. It didn't stand out in my memory.
Did you have any personal relationship with him, or were you mostly related to him through the lab?
Well, through the lab, I think I went to a party or so with him and his wife, maybe, but that's all.
Did you have any knowledge of his relationship with Harry Harlow?
You know, I don't. I
Okay.
don't at all. I wish I did. But we never talked about that. In fact, I don't know. We just talked about the monkey business, I guess.
Do you remember any conversations that you had with him about the monkeys?
No.
Okay.
Nothing is, that important, I think.
Now, were you aware of any anti-Semitism on campus, or did Maslow talk about it at all?
He was Jewish, of course,
Right.
and I didn't know about it. I had friends from New York that were Jews, and that didn't bother me at all. And my name was Steiner,
Right.
which is sort of a Jewish name in a way. And there were, I think, 12 other Steiner students there. And from New York, mainly.
But you didn't experience any open anti-Semitism on campus?
I never thought about it to look for it even,
Okay.
because I was never that way myself.
How about any problems or conflicts between different races on campus when you were here?
No, I've never been around any. I've never thought about it because I am not. I don't look down on anybody.
Right.
If they're different, great. That's interesting. But that's all. Maybe because my parents were so unique, really. Because I think there were only about 1,500 Mennonites, Reformed Mennonites, at that time in the country.
And did you experience any sexism while you were here? Did you personally experience any discrimination because you were a woman in a field that was mostly...
Oh, no, nothing. I never felt that. No, never even thought about it. That wasn't part of the growing up, I don't think, mm-hmm. in my time. But whether they're Jew or what, it didn't make any difference to me, and I don't know whether it did to other people or not.
Now, do you have any memories of life during the Great Depression? Did that affect your family?
Well, it did affect my family because my dad had 5 children to educate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my sister Mary really helped me get through the university, not my parents. She was a school teacher and she gave me a lot of her salary every month. And I lived cheaply. I didn't live high at the hog, except when I went to the chocolate shop. And we weren't high livers of any kind, very plain people.
Did you notice any change in your family during the Depression, or was that all you knew?
My dad... But he never lost a job or anything in the Depression. And I do remember there was a strike at the company at which he worked. And we had our house guarded because there were strikers around and they would blow up a garage or something like that. And we didn't have that problem because my dad was one of the head people at Atlanta Tool Company.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a man on a horse that guarded our property for a while.
Mm. Now, how about World War II? Were you involved in any war efforts, or was your family involved?
No, you see, they didn't believe anything like that.
Okay.
The Mennonites did not vote. They never went to a movie. They didn't belong to anything at all, it's just any sororities or not sororities, but any clubs or anything like that.
Weren't they conscientious objectors?
Yes, they were conscientious objectors to the war.
Hmm. Do you have any memories of your time during World War II?
Yeah, oh yes. I mean, I was married at that time.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that we had our shades down on the house. Everything was blackened. And so I don't know why exactly, but I guess we were afraid of bombing, and that was why.
Okay.
I remember that.
Rationing,
yes. I remember that.
And you were in Pennsylvania during that time.
Yeah, I've lived here all my life.
Okay, and you weren't working during World War II?
No, I never worked.
Okay, except as a typist for 3 months.
That was work. And, of course, I have a house, and I did clean that now and then.
Yeah.
And washed now and then. Raised 2 children.
And your husband wasn't involved in any war efforts either?
Yes, he was at Frick Company. And they fitted the battleships with all kinds of refrigeration equipment. And he went down to Washington. And he was a refrigeration engineer.
Could you tell me more about your husband?
I sure can. He was, he went to Mercersburg Academy to high school, instead of high school, went there to school. Then he went, and he was a great tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Cornell, graduated from there, and played tennis after that. He was in a fixed up the engineer for a while, and then we had a couple of farms that he had to look after for his family.
What kind of farms were those?
Well, the regular farms here, but we did produce milk for places up in the mountain, and we got our own meat there, and had our own gardens out there, and he was a great man.
And where did you meet him?
Well, he sat behind me in school in the seventh grade, I think it was. I couldn't stand him because I thought he was a mother's boy. And then when I came back from Wisconsin my second year, I saw him up at a dance, and he said he had a motorcycle. And I talked him into taking me a ride. And from then on, I talked him into marrying me.
Do you have any memories of what dating was like in the 1930s? Were your friends dating?
Oh, I remember dating very well. We went to dances.
Mm-hmm.
And parked. And awful things like that. And that's about it.
Did you go to the prom when you were at University of Wisconsin?
Yes, I did. I wish I could think of the man's name I went with. So I've forgotten him completely too. There was one man, let me see. Now, I can't think of names anymore. I'm in bad shape.
That's fine. And do you remember going to prom? Do you remember where it was held?
The prom?
Yeah.
At the Union.
Okay.
And the orchestra was a real good orchestra at the time. Ford, I think it was was that the name? And I was something at that prom. And I have a little tasseled card that I saved, but I don't know where it is.
That's your dance card?
Yeah, well, it was a card that said I was princess or something.
Oh.
I don't know. I was a big shot.
And do you remember that most people went to the prom, the girls that you lived with?
What about that?
Did most of the girls that you lived with go to prom?
Yes, I think some of them were regularly dating and finally married some of the men.
Hmm.
I think a few of them went. There was only about 30 girls that lived at the villa.
Did you stay in contact with any of them after you left?
Yes. They're all dead but one.
Okay.
And, She's the one that is blind and deaf. And the only way I can get in touch with her is I have my helper
mm-hmm.
write or type a note, and then she has somebody that looks after her.
Okay. Now, do you think that your years at the University of Wisconsin prepared you for anything later in life? It sounds like you didn't use your psychology degree after you graduated very much.
I don't know if I really used the degree. It taught me a lot about people, and of course I always had an interest in people and how they worked and that sort of stuff. But it didn't do anything for me, except raising kids, I think.
Yeah.
It did. I've tried to raise them right, and they have turned out very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least I think so.
Do you have any more memories of working at the primate lab? Do you remember the types of monkeys that you worked with or any specific things that you were doing?
The group that came in and Abe wanted me to go down and see what sex they were.
Yeah.
Were rhesus monkeys.
Okay.
And the little South American monkey I had was a little white-faced South American monkey.
A capuchin, do you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
And there weren't any other ones in there much. There was very little went on then.
Mm-hmm.
I have an article that Abe Maslow wrote, and in it he thanks Catherine Steiner and Pearl, I forget her last name, for helping me.
Oh.
And I have that.
Do you remember the specific things you were doing when you worked in the lab?
The what?
The specific things you were doing when you worked in the lab.
Specific things?
Yeah, like your daily tasks.
I don't, no, nothing real exciting. I can't think of anything exciting.
Mostly just caring for the animals?
I didn't do that.
Okay.
I didn't do any of that.
Okay.
So, nobody, it was just a kind of a little old garage or something.
Right.
But what is it now?
It's turned into the Wisconsin Regional Primate Center. So starting with Dr. Harlow's lab, it's become this National Primate Research Center.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and that's where I work now. So it's become a really amazing facility. But I was reading that in the 1930s, it was just a very small garage that Harlow actually built himself.
Well, I didn't know he was connected with it. And I only thought Abe Maslow was.
I think Maslow was a graduate student of Harlow.
Oh, maybe he was.
And Maslow went on to do his own psychology studies. Have you kept up with him at all, or have you followed any of his later research?
Have I followed Bud?
Yeah.
No, my sister's is dead. He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether his family is or not. But I've outlived everybody, unfortunately.
Well, good for you.
It's not pleasant, let me tell you. Because all my friends are gone. And I had six special friends at the university,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't belong to a sorority or anything.
Right.
But I had six friends, and I flew out there to see them one time after I graduated, and I have a picture of that someplace in the house,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I have left. They're all dead except the one.
Well, do you have any other memories or experiences of your time here that you'd like to talk about?
Well, some I can't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I had a wonderful time with ice boating.
Oh.
With Hugh Cutler. That's who it was.
Okay.
And that was wonderful. But I have ever since hated cold weather. One time it was so cold that all of us going into a class, the temperature went down 30 degrees. We went in with our cold coats on and mm-hmm. stuff. It would be 35 below zero out there. That was horrible.
Well, it's still just that cold here.
It is.
Yep.
Oh, I like Madison, but never that weather. And the lake was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Do you live there?
Yes, I do. I live right by the Capitol.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a nice cool summer, I hope.
Yeah, it's nice in the summer with the lake. Do you have any memories of living in Madison during the summer?
No, I came home.
Oh, you came home during the summer.
I came home.
Okay.
And then went back by train, I think.
How long was the train ride?
Well, I think it's about overnight.
Okay.
Because I'd be in a Pullman, you know, or I would drive. Someone would drive me out there. And my husband drove my sister out to my graduation. That's before we were buried.
Okay.
Now, one thing I would like to know.
Yeah.
I graduated with honors.
Okay.
And some woman from the stage was there who gave me my diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who it was. She was well known at that time.
She was a state employee?
No. She was a Broadway actress.
A Broadway actress. I can look that up for you.
Well, if you ever get it and feel like it, I'd love to know who it was that gave me my diploma.
So it sounds like you did well in your classes then.
I must have. I don't know how, because I never was much of a student.
You never studied very much?
No.
So what did you do with your free time?
Well, now I don't know about this. I wish I did, though. I don't know. I didn't play bridge. I used to play bridge before I went blind a lot. But I don't know what I did at the university.
Sounds like you dated a lot.
I can't think of a thing I did a lot. I dated a good bit. I kind of enjoyed that. I always liked the men slightly.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I know.
Do you remember whether people drank and smoked?
Well, but I went drinking 3.2 beer came in, and they had it at the union. And so two guys, I don't know who it was anymore, took me out, and they said, here's a drink for you. And so I tried it, and it was pure alcohol, apparently, because I drank some of it, and I went out and puked all over the place. Thank God, I wish I'd have puked on them. But I didn't. And that's the last I drank for a little while.
And did you smoke?
I don't know when I started smoking. I smoked. I guess I must have smoked. I don't know. But I quit that after all the scare and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think we were allowed to smoke in my living quarters.
Were there a lot of regulations at the villa where you lived?
No, not an awful lot. You couldn't have men in the place.
Okay.
And we'd never have been around up in the rooms or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I never even tried to sneak one in.
Well, do you have any other memories or experiences you wanted to share?
Well, I loved it in lots of ways, and I think it was a good university.
Yeah.
And the English, you see, my brother-in-law was an English professor there.
Right.
So I loved that part of the university because I heard through him, and I met a lot of nice professors through them because he was a professor.
So you socialized with professors with your sister?
Yes.
Do you remember whether you would go to parties or whether you would have dinner, how that worked?
Well, we would have a drink, probably.
Okay.
I don't think I'd... And just get together and have a cocktail party.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had my brother-in-law. They had their child out there, and the child is now 70, something like that.
He's older than that.
How old is he?
He's 78, isn't he?
78.
Wow.
Yeah, I was there at his birth, and the father sat in the delivery room there at the hospital, and it was a reed one with little pieces of stuff you could break off, you know, reed furniture. And he was breaking all the furniture up with his hands. And my sister was yelling like mad, having this baby. And so then my my nephew was born, and I remember that. Well.
When you babysat.
I babysat, yeah.
Do you remember whether it was normal for students to have drinks and go out with professors, or did you just do that because of your sister?
I don't know really about that. You see, I think if I had belonged to a sorority, it would have been a lot different.
Okay.
But my sister Ruth did not believe in joining them, and so I went along with her. And I don't know why she did like it, but she did. I think they thought of themselves as intellectuals.
Right.
And I was far from that. I wish I could remember more, but I can't. Did I give you any kind of any information?
Absolutely. You've given us a lot of really interesting information. I think this interview went really, really well.
Well, you've been very nice.
Oh, well, thank you.
And go to the chocolate shop for me.
I will do that.
And ask them if they have veal birds.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Now, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Anything else you'd like to say while we're still recording?
Well, it's too cold to go to Madison to school. Mm-hmm. It's awful cold. I hated that. the university was good. It was the buildings were good, and the teachers were fine, and I loved walking up Landon Street to Bascom Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And where I lived was on Howard Place.
Yeah.
And I never joined a sorority, but they lived right there in the corner. I missed part of a lot of college life that way, but that was my sister's doing. I can't think of anything else.
Okay. Now, would you like us to send you a copy of this interview or a transcript?
Well, can you do it, or do I pay for it?
Nope, we can absolutely do that. We can email Karen and arrange it with her if that works best.
Well, that would be interesting, and I have somebody read it to me and how dumb I sounded.
Oh, well, you did a great job with the interview today. We got some really interesting information, so thank you so much, Kate.
Well, I'm so glad there's somebody like you working with the monkeys again.
Well, we wish you were still around to see the Primate Center as it is today.
But you're majoring in psychology. Are you going to be a psychiatrist or what?
No, I'm actually in the library, so I'm a library student.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I do, in the archives?
Yep, in the archives.
Yeah, I had a good friend that was head of archives at Duke University.
Oh.
So I know that's quite a job, and you have to be pretty smart to do that.
Right.
It was nice talking to you.
It was so nice talking to you, Kate, and we will contact Karen with some follow-up and try to get a copy of this to you.
Oh, that'd be very nice.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.